How many years has it been, Pete?
Well, since 40 years.
At least 40 years of Christmas Eve singing that beautiful song. Thank you for that testimony, one of just longevity and service and the faithfulness to singing out of praise to your God. That's such a beautiful thing. Thank you. Just to quiet some fears, particularly Anthony, this is not a $5 foot long or anything in front of us or a Subway sandwich. At the conclusion of my short sermon, Carol, at the conclusion of my sermon tonight, we will celebrate together with what we do every week with the communion. We have the opportunity to do that in a special way tonight as families. And so I'll share a little bit at the end, but just in case Anthony was thinking he might run up here to stage to get a ham and cheese foot long, that's not what that is. That's our bread for communion in just a little bit. But after a month of hope, a month of expectation, a month of waiting, we finally get to celebrate. We've sung with Mary, we've sung with Zechariah, we've sung with the angels, and then we sang with Simeon this past Sunday, and now it's our turn to sing, our turn to praise, our turn to celebrate, because he's here. Jesus is here, and now it's our turn to do the singing. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 150, and if you are able, please stand with me for the reading of God's inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God in Psalm 150. The psalmist says this: praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, we couldn't have a clearer passage tonight. The command of our appropriate response to this Christmas celebration. That God, in the midst of traveling wherever we're about to travel this weekend, that we can stop but for a moment and just praise you. Now, the command is clear. The reasons are clear. Even how we are to praise you is clear. That let this be our call, that as we celebrate tonight, as we go home with our friends and family and every point here and throughout this holiday season, may we purpose within ourselves to praise you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to do just that tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Now, we don't necessarily know who wrote Psalm 150, but it is certainly beautiful and animated, and we know it is just as inerrant, infallible, and authoritative as the rest of Scripture, as it is breathed out by God. One commentator notes that it was manifestly designed, whoever wrote it, to occupy the exact place it occupies, to complete the volume devoted to praise. Praise is the suitable ending of the book of Psalms. Praise is what the spirit of inspiration meant to secure in the heart and on the lips. In review of the whole of Psalms, there is an occasion for praise. In view of all that's been disclosed about God, about his religion, about the manifestations of his mercy and grace to his people, there is an occasion for praise. And that's just what this passage says. Commands and offers us. I would add that in view of the songs we've been singing, the songs with Mary these last few seasons and weeks of Advent, the songs of Zechariah, the angel Simeon, the perfect response then to those songs is for our song to now be sung. Our opportunity for Christmas to praise the Lord in response for what He's done. And so as we briefly, Carol, as we briefly make our way through this text tonight, we will answer three fundamental and essential questions for us. Who is to praise the Lord? We'll see in verses 1 and 6. Why we praise the Lord? We'll see in verse 2. And then how is the Lord to be praised, or how we praise the Lord in verses 3 through 5. So look back at the first and the last verses of our psalm tonight to see who is to praise the Lord. The psalmist says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. And then in verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We look at these first and last verses to answer the question of who is to praise the Lord. We see clues to the answer in the phrases in His sanctuary and in His mighty heavens, referring to both public worship here on earth and celestial worship in heaven. John Stott remarked that this verse 1 is an invitation to both humans and angels to worship their Creator and their God. Humans in earth sanctuaries and angels in heaven. Yet it gives even more specific points there in verse 6. With the opening call for humans and angels to worship, we find the psalm concludes with everything that has breath is commanded to do what? Praise the Lord. That seems simple enough, doesn't it? You're here tonight, which is a pretty good indication that you have breath, I think. You are here, you are breathing, and so this psalm here gives you your command that to use that breath to praise the Lord. We don't always use our breath, though, to praise the Lord, and sometimes we misuse the gift of grace that really is our every single breath. Perhaps we lie, complain, curse, gossip. It's certainly a struggle every single day, but the highest use, the most worthwhile use of our voice, our breath, is to offer sincere praise to the giver of every single breath we take. You see, the foundation for this command and the application for this command are found sandwiched between these two verses calling all the earth, everything that has breath, to praise the Lord. And so the first question of who is to worship is every single one of us, everything and everyone that has breath. Now the second question can be answered. Look back at verse 2 to see why we praise the Lord, why the Lord is to be praised. It says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The why is simple enough as well. The Lord is to be praised for His mighty deeds, His excellent greatness. 13 words barely scratching the surface of what would be a limitless list of deeds and attributes of our holy and righteous and merciful God. Yet even deeper than that is the vast depth of those words. His mighty deeds include His works of creation, His acts of providence, the redemption given through His Son, Jesus Christ. His excellent greatness can refer to His person, the great glorious God and majestic God He is that make Him indescribably glorious for us. Yet another way to look at that verse is to ask ourselves, why can I praise the Lord? What mighty deeds has He done in my life? How has His excellent greatness been evident to me? Well, a few questions. Has He saved you? Has He ever answered a prayer? Has He ever met a need? Has He ever blessed you? I would dare say that if the first of those is true, that He has saved you, you have every reason in the world to praise the Lord. And if any of the others that have happened to happen just once or twice, or even limitless times, those are just icing on the cake for our great and glorious God. Verse 2 is the foundation for our command to praise the Lord, for we praise Him for what He has done in our life, for what He is doing in our life and for what we believe he will do, and also the limitless list of the attributes that make him the glorious and majestic God we know, love, and serve. And so we've seen now the question of who is to worship, and that's everything that has breath, and why we are to praise him because of his excellent deeds and his character. But now we come to the application. How is the Lord to be praised? How are we to praise the Lord? Look at verses 3 through 5. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Who brought a trumpet tonight? Or a lute? Who knows what a lute is? This is not an exhaustive list, but the psalmist uses these variety of instruments to prove a point. Use whatever you have to praise the Lord. If that's a trumpet, blow it unto the Lord. If that's a lute, if that's a harp, play it for the Lord. If that's a tambourine, keep it at home. I'm just kidding. If that's a tambourine, play it unto the Lord. If that's a dance, dance. If those are strings, strum them. If that's a pipe, play it. And even if it's loud clashing cymbals, even those, use them to praise the Lord. All can be used in the service of praise when rightly used to glorify and praise the Lord. John Stott added, every conceivable instrument is to be employed in the worship of our Jehovah. And oh, how I agree. Today we don't see many lutes or harps. What instrument, if you will, has God given you to use in praise of his great name? Maybe it wasn't the ability to play the guitar, drums, or piano, but has he given you breath? Then you have the greatest instrument of all. Sing unto the Lord with your breath. And if he has given you the gift to play the guitar, tambourine, drums, whatever it may be, give those unto the Lord as you glorify him and praise his holy name. And so I would be remiss if I didn't use this opportunity to read a favorite Christmas carol of many that I think is one of the perfect applications of this verse. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I'm not speaking in tongues, I promise. To lay before the king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. My girls are having a fit. Little baby, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I am a poor boy too, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. That's fit to give the king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Shall I play for you on my drum? And then it goes on, Mary nodded. The ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him, and I played my best for him. What a beautiful carol to remind us of how we can praise the Lord with whatever we have and to honor him. Three answers to the three simple questions our text poses. Now, why does it matter? What's a so what for us tonight as we conclude our time with singing by candlelight? Our great and glorious God, who has provided over and over and over again for us time and time and time again, certainly for the gift of salvation, is indescribably and infinitely worthy of our praise. So we should praise the Lord. He must be the sole focus of our deepest affections and adoration, at the very least for what he has done to deliver us from bondage to sin through Jesus Christ, rescuing us through the grace won for us on the cross. It is when that has happened that we can and are enabled to and give the only appropriate response for that salvation is to praise the Lord. So let that be our song for Christmas. That in the busyness, that in the traveling, that in the eating, that in the opening of gifts, that in the time with family and friends, that we will not stop praising the Lord. but instead praise Him all the more as we go here and there, celebrating Christmas together with the ones we love. But before we leave to do just that, you have the opportunity right here, right now, to do that as well. Richard and Jeff are about to come join me for a special celebration of the Lord's Supper, of communion together, this time with our family. So it's a little bit different than we normally do here at Pipe Creek Community Church. So I'll share a little bit about how that will work. Pipe Creek Community Church celebrates what's known as an open communion, meaning that all who have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord are invited and encouraged to participate with us, to celebrate with us. Tonight, we will do so as families, and you will be dismissed row by row to come up with your families together. And one at a time, with your families, you'll be given the bread, symbolizing the body of Jesus broken for you, and the juice, symbolizing the blood of Jesus poured out on your behalf. And so Richard and Jeff will share with each other and then with our families together tonight. And then as you head out, you'll receive a candle for our candlelight song in just a moment. And so Richard and Jeff and I will kind of demonstrate that for just a moment, and then we will send you up row by row. So pray with me, and then we will begin this time together. Lord, we thank you for our opportunity to praise you. That no matter how busy we get over the next couple of days, no matter how far we have traveled or will travel, that we will take every opportunity to remember that every single breath you've given us is a gift, and that we can use it to praise you. And that is our appropriate response for Christmas. That's our appropriate response for Easter. That's our appropriate response for you waking us up this morning and giving us salvation. Lord, as we celebrate this time of communion with our families, as we sing a carol together, may this be another opportunity for us to live out the command of this text to praise you for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what we know you're going to do, certainly within the lives of our families, but also within the life of this church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.